The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of Audlin Brown, BD Developments, Stem Cell Technologies, and listeners like you. According to the Montreal Economic Institute, Justin Trudeau ranks first among Canadian prime ministers over the past 40 years when it comes to the expansion in the size of the civil service. In a recent study, MEI notes over the past few decades, the number of employees in the federal public service has fluctuated somewhat under the mandate of successive governments. Under Justin Trudeau's current government, however, we are witnessing a truly unprecedented expansion. Renaud Brossard speaks on behalf of MEI, and he says an expanding public service has consequences that adversely affect the economy, including undue competition with the private sector for employees. And that, in turn, exacerbates the already challenging talent market. The report goes on to show the increase on a percentage basis from Prime Ministers Mulroney through to Trudeau. Mulroney and Chrétien both oversaw about 10% reduction. Martin and Harper also decreased the number of civil servants, but to a lesser extent. Prime Minister Trudeau's increase is a whopping 25%. I invited Renaud Brossard of MEI to join me for a conversation that matters about the report and why a rapidly expanding civil service is a cause for concern. Renaud, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
When this report first came to light, you know, the findings of it for you at MEI, what was the response inside your institute? Like, were you shocked?
We expected that it was going to be bad, but I don't think we expected it was going to be this bad. As you mentioned, it is an unprecedented increase. So since the 80s, we have been progressively reducing the size of the federal bureaucracy when compared to the size of our population. Basically, we don't necessarily need as many people to provide us the services that we have. But under Justin Trudeau, that has been reversed, and we have seen a significant increase. So today, there's about 25% more government employees per person than there were only 8 years ago, 9 years ago, back in 2015, when Trudeau was first elected.
And the Canadian population at that time has not kept pace with the percentage increase in the number of civil servants. I believe that population is up about 15, maybe 16%. That's a huge disparity.
It is, and to be clear, that 25% increase accounts for the population increase. If we just looked at a number of new federal bureaucrats that have been hired since Justin Trudeau took office, we're actually looking at a 38% increase, which again, it is significant. It's 100,000 new government employees. So just to show just how large that is, if you would take the federal government right now and you take all government employees and put them in one city, it would be the size of Markham, the 16th largest city in the country. So the increase is significant. The thing we ask, though, is that when we look, or the thing that had us wonder is that if you look at the government services we're getting from Ottawa, it's hard to say that they're 40% better or there's 40% more of them. And yet we still have to pay for all those salaries, all those extra salaries through our taxes.
According to Stats Can, when it comes to absenteeism, within the public service, there is a absentee rate of 15.8 days per employee each year. You look at that in comparison to what the trend is in the absenteeism rate is in the private sector, it's 9.5 days. That's a significant difference and an enormous cost.
It absolutely is. And that's a trend that we've noticed for years and years now. It is no secret that when it comes to compensation packages, the federal government tends to be quite generous because, unlike the private sector, it doesn't have to depend on how many goods it sells, services it sells. It can just levy slightly higher taxes and pay for all those things. So we've noticed that trend for quite a bit. It also goes to show that this increase in the number of federal bureaucrats, the cost that is associated with it has not translated into better productivity or better services for Canadians. And again, like this is 100,000 new people that we have to pay for through the tax, through our income taxes, our sales taxes, various taxes we pay at the federal level. And it is costing us a lot of money. If we look at the we paid for compensating federal employees back when Justin Trudeau was first elected, compared to today, it is up about 50%. We're paying 20 billion extra over the course of those years. That's just how much it has increased, and a large part of that is the amount of new employees. And again, we're not getting the services. We're not getting 25% better services or 25% more services. So we have to wonder whether or not this increase was necessary.
The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of Audlin Brown, BD Developments, Stem Cell Technologies, and listeners like you. Did you get a chance to take a look at what the increased equipment and office space costs are associated with this expansion in the civil service?
That is not something we've looked into, but that would be a very interesting follow-up. And of course, part of that, we know that when government employees started working from home during COVID, there were some significant equipment costs, and that's understandable. But we haven't looked specifically at that. We've focused more on the employee component and the expenditure for compensation, which again is up 50%. It is, I feel like I'm throwing a lot of numbers out there, but all of them are mind-boggling in their own way.
What is your thought around the now the entrenchment of the right to work from home for public service employees? It seems to be that we're giving people a job that is very easy to not be on duty in 8 hours a day.
It's certainly a question that a lot of industries have been asking. And the fact is, there are some places where working from home totally works. There are some companies that have noticed significant success and that have been able to either sell off some office space or not renew some leases. And they've noticed that productivity was good enough and they've got savings. Unfortunately, at a federal level, it doesn't seem like that's the case. Again, we've got 100,000 more government employees. It's a 38% increase, 25% if we account for population growth. But services have not followed. Because if you look at where the increase is, a lot of it has been with the Canada Revenue Agencies, a lot of it with Border Services, a lot of it with Employment and Social Development. But it's not like our income tax returns are getting processed any faster, or the CRA is picking up calls even faster. There's still some very long wait times. We could say the same at the border. You know, the last time I know when's the last time you had to go through customs at the airport, but the wait times are just as long as they were before. So it just feels like we're paying a whole lot more people without getting the extra productivity. And maybe a part of that component is work from home. It's possible that some employees have been slacking off. It's a possibility. But I think another part of it is just a lack of human resource management. You know, from this government, it seems that they have made it very, very clear that they're very happy to open the purse strings, start spending money. And I think for a lot of government departments, they've noticed that this government's approach to solving a lot of issues seems to be to send you know to send money and to send extra employees and just assume that everything is going to be better. And that is probably one of the biggest factors driving this large increase in the size of federal bureaucracy.
So these become year-over-year expenses for the government. It's not a one-year increase, it's ongoing. And even if there is a change in attitude around the size of the civil service, reducing the employment roles is not going to be easy.
It is not easy. It is something that has been done before. As you alluded to at the start of the show, Prime Minister Jean Chrétien did so back in the 90s, when we were facing a fiscal precipice. But at the time, he reduced the size of the federal bureaucracy by about 38,000 employees. That was a 15% drop. That was quite a significant decrease in the number of government employees. We've also had some other prime ministers that have not necessarily reduced the number of government employees, but that have not allowed it to grow, which means that as population grow, we have more people, more taxpayers to shoulder the same burden, and progressively we can slim down the size of the bureaucracy this way. So there's a couple of ways to do it, but it is never easy. And for this next government, whether it is the Liberals getting reelected or whether it comes the Conservatives or another party gets into office, it is going to be a significant challenge. We know that Canada's fiscal situation is not the same as it was a couple of years ago. Our debt has gone up significantly. We are still facing a more than $40 billion deficit every year. So there's going to be a lot of tough choices for the next government to do.
The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of Audlin Brown, BD Developments, Stem Cell Technologies, and listeners like you.
Well, let's also consider the fact that GDP seems to have stalled. There isn't growth. Now, fortunately, I mean, on the downside, it's maybe limited, but we're stuck. And when you take a look at projections from the OECD group of countries that look at per capita GDP, it indicates that because of the way in which we're managing our economy, incomes for the average person are not going to be increasing. As a matter of fact, they're falling behind as opposed to cost of living. We don't see that the same with the public service.
You're absolutely right, and part of the story of our lackluster growth in the side of our economy. And let's be clear, this is something that clearly impacts people directly. The size of our economy, when we talk about GDP per capita, that is a direct measure of our standard of living. So the fact that we haven't had a lot of growth can be explained at least in part by this massive expansion in the size of our federal government. One of the things that we've been faced with in recent year is a worker shortage. In a lot of industries, it's very hard to find a specialized workforce, skilled people to work in those industries. And when you have a federal government that goes on a hiring spree and gets 100,000 more people, well, it certainly doesn't help. And the thing is, our unemployment rate, thankfully, is quite low. But at a time like this, when we have businesses that are struggling to find workers, where our unemployment rate is at only 6%, it is sure that if the federal government were to go on a diet and reduce the number of employees it has, a good portion of them, a very good share of them, would be able to transition to a productive private sector job that actually brings in tax revenue rather than takes out tax revenue.
It's difficult for the private sector to compete against civil service jobs because of the guarantee of employment, the benefits package, and healthy compensation packages. And so does that then add to the consequences of expanding the civil service at such a dramatic rate?
It certainly does. And you're right, when it comes to the job security, for instance, within the federal government, you know, it's very, very hard to get a federal fired, even for wrongdoing. So that sort of job security has a value. And yet the government keeps adding to that a very large compensation package with a very generous pension, vacation and sick leave benefits. So there's all of those. When you look at it, it's very hard for Turk to compete. Of course, some businesses are able to, and that's absolutely great. But it gets much harder for the rest of businesses that don't necessarily have that actually don't have the same ability to raise money as it does by simply raising taxes if they need to. So it is much harder for them to compete when they actually have to convince consumers to buy their goods and services and make sure that the amount of money they spend producing them covers the is covered by the cost of selling them.
So at the same time that we're seeing this increase in the number of people working within the public service, we've seen a dramatic, almost 50% increase in a reliance on outside consultants. 2015, I think the government spent $416 million on consultants. For fiscal year 21-22, $811 million on outside consultants. If we're expanding the civil service, why do we need to have such a dramatic increase in a reliance on consultants?
It goes to there's a certain laissez-faire in the approach that this government has had with how it handles Canadian taxpayers' money. Usually, you would have such a large increase in staff, you could expect that at least the amount of money you spend on an external consultant goes down. But it has not been the case. This government has relied more and more on external consultants, as well as just hiring tons of new staff. This reliance on external consultants, I think, was best exemplified a few weeks ago. It was found out a few weeks ago that KPMG, which is a consulting firm, was hired by a federal government department to find out how that department could save money in consulting fees, which really goes to show that there's not that this federal government doesn't really believe in the expertise of its own civil service. And yet it keeps hiring more and more civil servants, which just doesn't really make sense from a financial perspective or from a taxpayer perspective.
The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of Audlin Brown, BD Developments, Stem Cell Technologies, and listeners like you.
We would be better off hiring those consultants because they are on a short-term contract and that spending can come to an end. Whereas when we're hiring employees at the same time, those expenses are incurred year over year over year. And any new increases get piled on to what the total operating costs of the government are.
That's true. Then again, when you have 100,000 more government employees, you should be able to find, or at least you would hope that you'd be able to find the skills you need within the workforce you have. So it's there could be an argument to be made that the federal government should reduce its consultant spending massively because of all these new hires it has. Now, maybe in the long run, we try to find a way to either accelerate some departures or to get, to get more people to take their retirement a little bit earlier and stuff like that to reduce the size of federal bureaucracy. That would be a good thing, especially given our financial situation. But while we still have them, we should probably not be spending that much money on external consultants as well as 100,000 new bureaucrats that we have.
Where do we go from here? I know that your objective is to measure and report. But what are the recommendations on how we start to work our way out of this kind of trend that just sees a growing increase in the size of government? It's as though it's increasing, but the rate of growth is accelerating. What do we do to trim that back?
Well, the best thing to do is a thorough review of government spending and of government programs. It's very easy for anybody that to come in and just say we're going to cut this much. The problem is that cuts across the board will typically affect a lot of services because there's not necessarily the same level of bloating in every single department. So the best way to do so would be to do a thorough program review, a thorough review of all government spending, to identify areas where we could be more efficient, identify areas where we are efficient, and identify areas where the government should simply get out because it is not efficient. And that is something that was done back in the 90s under Prime Minister Jean Chrétien. And when Paul Martin was finance minister, the government underwent such a thorough review, and that resulted in a reduction in the number of bureaucrats by about 38,000, which is not insignificant. But it also led to a return to balanced budgets and years that we spent simply paying down the debt and getting back to a better financial situation. So that should be the next step. It is. It's also worth noting that this is a step that some other countries have started taking. Ever since New Zealand had got rid of its Labour government and elected a new government, the new government has been going in that direction, trying to find ways to slim down the size of government to make it more efficient again after years of significant growth. And the same should be done. The same should happen at the federal level here in Canada.
Well, it takes a particular kind of political will and an awareness of the impending financial consequences to every taxpayer, because if we're collectively carrying the burden of debt, it impacts all of us and our quality of life.
It certainly does. And you're right that it takes will. But at the same time, there's more and more Canadians that realize that the way that our federal government is operating is simply unsustainable. When we look at polling, people are concerned about the deficit. People also recognize, and rightfully so, that the deficit has been one of the causes behind the inflation we had in recent years. And right now, we're sort of in this situation where there's a lot of people that are calling for fiscal restraint. There's a lot of experts calling for fiscal restraint. So there's a certain appetite for it right now, and there's certainly some savvy politicians that could run on that or try to propose that as part of the next budget. So it's certainly something we're hopeful for. But you're absolutely right that, yeah, that has an impact on all of us. It has an impact on our quality of life. It also has an impact on the amount of taxes we have to pay. You know, this year alone, we're going to spend over $40 billion in interest payments. That's quite a lot of money. But the thing is, there's a lot of our debt that was contracted years and years ago at lower interest rates. And those obligations are coming due, and we're going to have to roll them over at a higher interest rate, which means that our interest payments are only going to go up in the coming years. I believe the federal government's latest estimates was that it was going to reach $60 billion a year by 2027, which, again, that's quite a lot of money for 40 million Canadians to shoulder.
Well, we need more conversations like this so that people are aware of them and that they can help to generate the political will that's needed to make some changes. We need fiscal restraint and responsibility. Thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening, and please visit conversationsthatmatter.ca and become a subscriber. And thank you to Audlin Brown, BD Developments, and Stem Cell Technologies for their support.